Hey, today we are going to spend most of, if not all of our time in five verses, which I'm hoping we can manage together as a faith family. It's an incredibly small but extremely impactful piece of scripture. So if you have a copy of your Bible or a copy of your scriptures, we're going to be in the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 10, and I'll be there in just a few moments. Hey, when I was 23 years old, I found myself in a really busy season, and it was all my fault. You ever been there? When you just filled your life up with so many things. All 4 years of my undergraduate career in college, I was trying to figure out what I wanted to do with my life. I changed my major like four different times, and towards the end of my senior year of college, I finally felt like God was calling me to be a full-time pastor. And so that first semester as a 23-year-old, I stepped into seminary, and I was on fire for the Lord. I was like ready to change the world. And I remember I was in seminary, I was serving as a student pastor at a local church plant while also working another job to help pay the bills. And I had signed up to be in multiple different small groups. I was like, yes to everything. That was that season of my life, while also getting ready to get engaged. And so it was, I had a discipleship group, I was being discipled by a few guys, and life was really busy. About 2 months into that season, I had a phone conversation with my father. He's my hero, my mentor, also my pastor. And I really started telling him all the things I was doing, and I was excited. I wanted Dad to be proud of me. And I remember he made this statement. He said, "Austin, it seems like you're doing a lot." And I'll never forget what I said back to him. I was 23. I wasn't smart. I said, "Dad, the devil ain't sleeping, so neither am I." Yeah, he paused on the other end of the line. And my dad's a little bit like me. Like, I don't pause a lot when I'm talking, but he paused, which you know what that means. He about to say something. You better listen up. I'll never forget what he said. He said, "Yeah, but neither is God. Slow down." He said, "Busyness, Austin, is starting to destroy you." You ever been there? In life, where you just fill your life up with so many things that the silent killer of busyness slowly starts to creep into your life. And whether you know it or not, it's slowly starting to destroy you. And it's a safe space. Y'all are family. Come on, Starkville, Oxford, Clinton, Madison, here at the Res. If you're watching online, I can just say this, safe space. We're all really busy. You know what I've never heard as a pastor? I never really hear this. Preacher, I got a lot of space in my life right now. I'm running at a healthy pace. Can I tell you what I often do here, though? Man, I have no space right now. I don't have time for that. I feel like I can't stop to breathe. I'm running a million miles a minute. You know, Chip shared this recently. Business Week magazine did a poll. They asked a group of people this question of how are you doing? And the number one answer unanimously was tired. Do you feel that where life is a blur and you're always in a hurry? Do you feel it? I'm just thinking about all of us. I wrote a list of some things that fill up your life. You got work, class, practices, families. You got kids' ball games, kids' plays, kids' theaters, kids' birthday parties, travel ball, which seems to be all the time. Work functions, PTO meetings. Some of you are planning a wedding. Some of you are trying to find a spouse. Then you have social media to keep up with, right? Facebook, Instagram. Then you have to go to athletic events. Fall's coming, Mississippi State on the weekend, Ole Miss games on the weekend. We got to do that. And then there's church. You got to make a priority for church. So then you come worship, and what happens? Well, we say, let's throw a lanyard on you. Come serve. Give up some of your life. Go serve. Go greet. Go serve in kids' ministry. It can feel so busy, can it? I'm going to say it again for the people in the back. Life can feel so busy. And when you're busy, you feel like a victim, don't you? Like you feel like something has happened to you and you want people to feel sorry for you. I know I do. I want you to feel sorry for me when my life is so full. But can I just say something didn't happen to you? You added too much to your life. It's your time to manage. So you can't blame anyone or anything else when you're busy. And then let's get even deeper this morning. The enemy loves busyness. I want you to understand my theology today. I believe there is a spiritual enemy. Jesus said it himself in John 10:10. He is out to steal, kill, and destroy. Part of the way he wants to destroy your life is to keep you busy. And busyness is his tool to pull you out of a relationship with Jesus, but to also do this, to crush your intimacy with Jesus. Think about it for a second. All the things you fill your life up with right now, not even bad things, things you have to do, work, travel, all these things that you invest in your life, oftentimes what happens is those things become the excuse or the reason for you not to do some of the spiritual things, whether it's engaging in scripture, talking, communing with the Lord through prayer, serving, sharing the gospel, worshiping regularly with the people of God. And if we're just being honest this morning, for some of you, you're going, well, preacher, I try to do those things, but it's rushed. So what happens? Your intimacy with Jesus is lacking. Point blank, busyness is the enemy of intimacy with Jesus. There was a Holocaust survivor who made this statement, Corrie Ten Boom. She says, if the devil can't make you sin, he'll make you busy. And I think there's some truth to that. Why? Because both sin and busyness cut off your connection to God, also cuts off your connection to other people and deep, authentic relationships. And so there's a price to pay when you live a hurried, busy life. Tyler Staton wrote in his book, Praying Like Monks, Living Like Fools, he says this, that hurry is the great enemy of the spiritual life. And I'd say it's the great enemy of the spiritual life of our day right now. Why? Because hurry kills love. Hurry hides behind anger, agitation, and self-centeredness, and it blinds our eyes to the truth that we are God's beloved. So how do we find hope for the hurried, busy life? Where's the hope? Well, I love the text we're in today, Luke chapter 10. Jesus is going to go directly at this, and he's going to address two women who are connecting or relating to him in two completely different ways. One of them is doing for God, doing all these things, trying, serving, doing all these things. The other one's just being with God. So you have a copy of your scriptures. We're going to be in Luke 10. Pick up in verse 38. If you don't have it, it's all good. It will be up on the screens. Verse 38. Might be a story you're familiar with. I pray that God opens your eyes if you have a fresh eyes today to allow God to minister to you. Verse 38. It says, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha, first character, Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary. Here's our second character. Mary's doing this. She's sitting at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. But Martha, Luke says, was distracted by what? All the preparations that had to be made. And she came to him and she says, Lord, don't you care? Don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha's tattling. Martha, Martha, the Lord answers. He says, you're worried and you're upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. And Mary has chosen that which is better, and it will not be taken away from her. And I love this story because I think we can relate to both of these two characters, right? I think in every home there's somewhat of a Martha, and every home there's somewhat of a Mary, right? There's a Martha frustrated with a Mary. There's a Mary frustrated with a Martha because she just doesn't get it. And I think we see two different personality types. A lot of theologians and scholars think that you could say Martha is more the task-oriented person, Mary being more the people-oriented. If I could have a little bit of fun, we could say Martha, she's the Marthas of our world, they own their home. They make all the preparations, they're Miss Hospitality. If she's a Friends character, she's 100% Monica. She's the mom who packs the best lunch with the best note. House is never messy. It's the college student who says, what all can I take on? And it's the person who wakes up every morning and saying, give it all to me. I'm ready. That's Martha. Then let's look at Mary. I'm having a little bit of fun. Mary's probably a little artsy. A little artsy, never in a hurry, always wanting the deeper conversation. Her idea of small group isn't the hour and a half time limit. Who puts a time limit on small group? It's like however long the Spirit leads. And if she's a Friends character, she's like, got to be 100% Phoebe. And look, I don't think Jesus is trying to indicate that he prefers the Mary personality best. Okay, I want to preface that. I don't think he's saying he prefers Mary best. He created both personality types. One pastor said it's not Mary or Martha. It's just Mary before Martha. Jesus is not saying don't prepare meals or serve. He's not saying just sit around and read your Bible and listen to worship music. Martha's serving with good intentions. She's serving the Son of God. So why pick on Martha, Jesus? Why are you picking on Martha, man? Well, because our world loves Marthas, don't we? We value Marthas. We see Marthas as people of significance. Actually, Marthas usually value themselves and see themselves as great Christians. So I think what Jesus is trying to do here is he's trying to address people, those who think that responsibility and doing more and adding more on their plate is earning them brownie points in heaven. That those of you that are filling your life up with so much stuff, you're candidly missing the point. And so what I love to do is I love to walk back through the text, and I want to give you two truths about busyness. And then my third point would just be, hey, what's the way forward, preacher? How can I find hope for my hurried, busy life? And so let's look at today. Two truths to latch on to. Number one, busyness does not equal godliness. Okay, today, God doesn't look down and think that his most faithful followers are those who are really, really busy. But busyness can make you and me feel faithful to God, can it? Like, we'll feel faithful. God, don't you see all that I'm doing? Don't you see all the things that I have to do? Don't you see all the different ways that I'm serving? God, aren't you proud of me? God, don't you see me? God, don't you notice me? And I just say, man, this story is going to show us that's not necessarily true. That a full calendar with a starving soul doesn't help anyone, and it sure doesn't please God. It isn't helping you, and it's not pleasing God. Let's look at our text. Verse 40, Luke records that Martha was distracted. If you have a Bible, you can underline that word, distracted. He's letting us know that she's missing the point in this scene. She's doing all these things, but she's missing it. She's distracted by what? All the preparations that had to be made. And she came to him and she says, Lord, don't you care? Which is a classic thing that you and me do when things don't go the way we want them to do, when we don't understand it. Lord, where are you at? Don't you care? Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me? She's left me to do all this work by myself. God, tell her to help me. She's tattling. Can y'all relate to Martha in this scene? I grew up with two younger brothers and an older sister. When we would eat dinner, oftentimes me and my two younger brothers were assigned to do the dishes together. And if I ever found myself doing the dishes by myself, I was letting it be known. Like, you know what I mean? I was banging those pots and pans louder than I needed to be. I was kind of making some subtle comments. Where y'all at? Y'all come over here and help me. So Martha's doing that, but it's not working. So she's had enough and she goes to Jesus, which come on, if you're a parent of more than one kid, that's awesome, because you never go to your sister, you go to the highest authority in the room, right? So she goes straight past Mary and goes straight to Jesus. She says, I'm not even gonna look at you. I'm going straight to Jesus. Jesus, don't you see me? Jesus, tell her to help me. So she goes to the highest authority, which in this case is the Son of God. And y'all, there's a part of Martha where she's thinking, I'm important. Jesus, you should notice me. Jesus, I'm doing the right thing. Aren't you proud of me? She's not doing the right thing. And I think so many of us think that when we're busy or when we're living that hurried life, filling our calendar up, it means, don't you know how important I am? And so what we do is we pride ourselves in our busyness. If you're constantly busy, it means you're going somewhere. And if you aren't busy, you're never gonna make it in the real world. So success only waits for those who never stop, or at least I think that's the lie we believe. There was a study that was highlighted in the Harvard Business Review, and it said that the vast majority of Americans, known as Americans, not the world, but Americans, now view busyness as a status symbol. That the busier you seem, the more likely people will respect you and think you're prosperous, you're highly valued, and hardworking. So what do we do in life? We'll lie to friends, to siblings, to parents about how much we work, because we believe that when we tell them that, they're gonna think we're important and we're significant. And that's just not true. And what we'll do is we'll run ourselves into a wall because we don't know what it means to stop or slow down. And y'all, it's dangerous. My wife and I went ice skating this past Thanksgiving, and my wife's from Chicago. We both went to school in Chicago. So when we were dating in college, we would make it a habit that every winter we would do one trip to the city where we would go ice skating in Millennium Park where the Bean is, and we always had fun. And when we were in college, it was a blast. My wife is like an expert skater on ice. I mean, she's like Michelle Kwan 2.0. I'm terrible, like awful at ice skating. And when we were in college, come on, fellas, it was fun being bad. She was picking me up. She was holding my hand. She thought it was cute. She thought it was funny. We hadn't been ice skating since we'd been married, which had been quite a while. She didn't think it was funny anymore because I was still bad. I remember she made a comment on the ice. She goes, you're still really bad at this. I go, yeah, you're still really good at this. And I've learned when you ice skate, and I've been reminded that not being able to stop on the ice rink is a really big problem. And I can't stop. Like, I don't even know how to slow down. And I could even translate that, not being able to stop or slow down in life is a much bigger problem. And I think most of us could use a chance today to just slow down and stop trying to be so important. I think God wants you to learn to be slower and just be with him. Jesus modeled this in his life. Luke chapter 5, Luke records Jesus himself would often slip away to the wilderness and pray. You see, it was Jesus' custom. Notice Luke says often. This was his rhythm of life. And kind of remind you, this was Jesus. He had a big calling, big purpose, never in a hurry. Greatest mission on earth, never in a hurry. Pastor Chip often says this, but the speed of your life will often defeat the depth of your life. So I'd stop and say, y'all breathe. At every campus, watching online, here at the res, man, just breathe. Your doing and filling your life up isn't making God love you any more or any less. Second truth about busyness from this text, busyness is often rooted in fear. Honest question today. Fear, or I can even say word. Honest question today. Why do you feel like you have to do all things and be all things for all people? Why are you racing and running so hard right now? If you go look at the text in verse 41, what does scripture tell us? That Martha, she was worried or anxious. Did you notice? That's what Jesus said. Look what he says, verse 41. Martha, Martha. And I can almost just see Jesus' countenance as he says this to his sweet daughter. Martha, Martha. Why are you worried? Why are you upset? And in the Hebrew, to say a word twice, it meant that this was going to be an intense statement. It meant this to Martha. Martha knew when Jesus said her name twice. Hey, listen to me. What I'm about to say is very, very important. This is mom and dad going, hey, give me your eyes. So he says, Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you're worried and you're upset about many things. And that word worried in the Greek is the word marinao. And it's used multiple times in the New Testament. It's the same word, same type of phrase Jesus uses in Matthew chapter 6 in the Sermon on the Mount. You might be familiar with that passage, right? What does he say? Hey, don't worry about your life. Why? I clothe the flowers in the field. I feed the birds. I'm going to take care of you. And that word literally means worried, anxious, fearful, all kind of in one. It's like this emotion of, man, it's an emotion that indicates a lack of trust. And so Martha, she's fearful. And can you imagine what Martha's doing? This is what you and me do. Her heart's probably racing and her mind's probably running. Everybody's gonna think poorly of me. Jesus is gonna think poorly of me. I gotta get all the food ready. I gotta get everything ready. And her mind's just doing and it's spinning and it's flying a million miles a minute. And this is you and me in life right now. And fear gets in the way. For some of you, maybe it's fear of inadequacy. Like, you have this fear that you're not going to be enough. You're not going to be important. So you do more to feel more needed, to feel wanted. You believe that the people who are busy are important and needed. So what do? You try to please people, everybody. Some of you can't ever say no because you want everybody to like you. And you want to prove yourself. And you believe that if you're not busy, it means you don't really matter. Maybe that's not you. Maybe it's fear of your own emotions. You never take time to slow down. Because slowing down means you got to sit in your own feelings and emotions, and who wants to do that? And it's scary and it's intimidating. So you fill your life up with all these things in an effort to make sure it's never just you and God. Like, you don't want to be convicted, you don't want to hear what he has to say, and you don't want to sit down and maybe some pain and hurt that you are currently walking through, so you don't even make time for it. Maybe that's not you, maybe it's not an inadequacy, maybe it's not your emotions, maybe it's fear of the future. And this is this fear that you're going to lack things in the future if you don't try and do it all now. It's almost like this lie that we'll believe that we actually have control. Right? And some of you live in the what if. And this is what keeps you running. It's what keeps your heart racing. It's what keeps you doing all these things. What if my kids don't turn out who I want them to be? What if I don't get it all done? What if I don't get chosen? What if I don't get the job? What if my kid doesn't make the team? What if I don't get the promotion or the salary increase? What if my business doesn't turn out to be what I thought it would be? Do y'all feel this? I can be so guilty of all three. I have been in multiple seasons of my life. I fill my life up with so much stuff because of these fears. So you'll run a million miles to feel important and to feel like you measure up. You'll climb all the mountains to avoid dealing with your own pain and your own hurt. And you'll work your life away out of the fear of what if. Thinking you're the one in control. So don't let fear keep you busy, keep you from Jesus. And I want to match these fears with God's word. Like, what does God say about you? Those are what some of the fears maybe you're living in. It's what's keeping you busy. What does God say? Number one, God says you're enough. You got a fear of inadequacy, you're enough. His approval is a gift. It doesn't need to be earned. Don't live in fear of not being enough. 1 John 3:1, John says, see what kind of love the Father has given to us that we should be called children of God. That's who we are. Sit in that. You're enough. Second thing, to match the fear of your own emotions, look, you're fully loved and you're fully forgiven today. I'd even go farther to say you're fully loved, fully forgiven, but you're also fully known. God knows everything about you and he still loves you. And he says, I forgive you for all of those things. Don't run from your past. Don't run from your struggles. God wants to meet you in them and free you from them. You're loved and fully forgiven. Paul writes to the church in Ephesus, Ephesians 2, God is rich in mercy. He loved us so much that even when we were dead because of our brokenness and our sin and our mistakes and our mess up, what happened? He gave us his life when he raised Jesus from the dead. And then lastly, if you have a fear of the future, can I just remind you, he's got the whole world in his hands. The song you learned in Sunday school, he's got the whole, y'all don't want me to sing it. But he sees and he knows and he loves and he cares. And he's got it all. He can provide all things so you can trust him in all things. It's interesting that Martha was worried about food with Jesus. Didn't he feed 5,000? Couldn't he have provided it? And she's worried. Why? Because she's fearful. She's anxious. Isaiah 46:10 says, only I can tell you the future before it begins, even happens. Everything I plan will come to pass, for I do whatever I wish. He's got the whole world in his hands. You can trust him. You can slow down. We learned this principle as a church a couple years ago, a little under 2 years ago. We just felt like as a church staff and as a church body, we were doing a lot of things. It wasn't even wrong things. It was maybe even you would say some holy, righteous hunger, but it was just a lot. And our staff was feeling it. I think our church family was feeling it. Servant leaders were feeling it. And so we just felt like we needed to scale back a little bit. We didn't stop Sunday mornings or Wednesday nights, but we just say, hey, less of all these events that we want to throw on the calendar and more weekly discipleship, more intentional time with people. And it was nerve-wracking because we were always the church, man, we just put all these things on the calendar. It's crazy. As you look back on fall 2021, and Chip has shared this before, but I think we should share it like every week. But we did less, God did more. We had more baptisms in fall of 21 than we've ever had in the history of our church. Isn't that amazing? Can we celebrate that? Isn't that awesome? And it's funny how that so often happens in life. Listen, God can do more in 5 seconds than you and me could ever do in 5 hours. So don't let fear keep you busy. Trust in him. He's got the whole world in his hands. And then lastly, hey, what is the way forward? Okay, Austin, I get it. I'm not disagreeing with the busyness and godliness. I'm not disagreeing with maybe some of my busyness is rooted in fear, but here's where you're gonna have to get, man, my life is busy, dude. Like, I got a lot of kids, single mom. I got a lot of things going on. So, and a lot of these things I can't just turn off. Like, my two-year-old, I can't just turn them off and put them away in a room. Sometimes I wish I could, but I can't do that. So what's the way forward? Here's the way forward. You gotta prioritize Jesus and learn to simplify your life. Prioritize Jesus and simplify your life. Let's look at verse 42. Look at Jesus' words. Can you see the compassionate, gracious, loving Father speaking to Martha, but then speaking to you today? He says this in verse 42. Few things are needed, Martha. There's few things needed in life, or indeed only one thing is needed. And Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. If I could even speak directly to parents in the room, can I just tell you that all the things you're consumed with in life right now, all the things you're filling your life up with right now can be taken away from you with the snap of a finger. Your career, your wealth, your health, your success. But can I tell you that knowing Jesus and teaching your family Jesus is the one thing that can never be taken away. So Jesus is saying, hey, you know what's the way forward? Come to me. That's the better way forward. He tells Martha she was busy about all these many things, and in the pursuit of all the many things, she had forgotten the best thing. And what he's really saying is she had forgotten the first thing, sitting at the feet of Jesus. And I think there's a somber warning from Jesus in this passage. I love Jesus because there's compassionate grace in this text. I feel it. I mean, don't y'all feel that there's compassion? Martha, Martha. But in verse 42, man, there's some strength to what he's saying, because here's what he's telling us and her, that the great danger of busyness is that it keeps you and me from the feet of Jesus, the most important thing. There was a French philosopher that once said, busyness sends more people to hell than outright rejection of God. And if I could just be candid with you, look, what we do in life is we invest in all these things. Not even bad things. Things we have to do, things we want to do, things we think we need to do. You know, you could fill in the blank what those things are. You got travel ball clubs, athletics, travel, our work, our hobbies. And what happens without us even really knowing it is all those things start to slowly take priority over the one thing. Engaging with God through scripture and prayer, worshiping, sharing the gospel, serving. And can I just say, when we do that, we make a really, really bad trade. You're teaching your kids something that you don't want to teach them. That is the one thing that matters. And can I remind you, some of you are going, well, preacher, you don't know my life. I don't. I don't know your life. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know how busy you are. I do know, though, you make time for what matters most to you in life, don't you? Now, you're going to make time for what matters most in your life. And this might be a wake-up call for some of you today. But when you're flatlining and you're at the end of your life and you're on your deathbed, can I tell you what you're not going to think? I wish I scrolled more. I wish I worked more. I wish I climbed the business ladder faster. What really matters today? The psalmist writes in Psalm 90, God, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. James writes, why do you not even, you don't even know what will happen tomorrow. Why invest and prioritize and simplify? You don't even know what's going to happen tomorrow. What is your life? You're a mist that appears for a little while and then it vanishes. Time is fleeting, y'all. What really matters? John Mark Comer says that the solution to an overbusy life is not more time. We can't leave today and you get more time. We all have the same amount of time, right? So it's not more time that's the solution. It's to slow down and simplify your lives around what really matters. And I want to give you two handles to do that. Number one, learn to say no. Learn to say no. Some of you see your busyness as a badge of honor, myself included. But oftentimes my busyness isn't a badge of honor, it's a sign of immaturity because I don't know how to say no. And I say yes to everything and I don't really end up saying yes to anything. Y'all know that, right? Like when you say yes to everything, yeah, I'll do that, yeah, I'll do that, yeah, I'll do this, yeah, I'll be there, yeah, I'll surf here, yeah, I'll do that. I know I need to be with my kids, but I need to go do that. Or when you do that, you're really saying yes to nothing. Feel free to say no so that you can prioritize what matters most. Secondly, you need to take an honest look at your priorities. Okay, and I got a little homework for you. It's July. We need some homework in July, right? Got a little homework challenge. I want you to list out, maybe this week with your wife, with your family, with a friend, list out the things that you're most committed to in life right now. You can make it 5 or 6 things, the top. Like when you look at your life from 6 a.m. till you go to bed at 10 p.m. at night, what are the things that take up the bulk of your time? What are the things that you're spending your time doing and being? What are the top 5 priorities? Work, school, hobbies, Mississippi State football, Ole Miss, athletics, whatever it might be. And maybe ask yourself the question, does sitting at the feet of Jesus make the list? So make the list, and then I want you to answer 3 questions with that list. Are there anything you need to stop doing? Hey, man, I need to just throw that out. I don't need to be worried about that. Is there anything you need to start doing? I need to probably throw that back in priority list. And is there anything you maybe need to do differently? I need to do this differently. Stop doing, start doing, or do differently so that you can prioritize Jesus and simplify your life around what matters most. I'm trying to practice what I preach. This is a real talk even for me because I struggle with this. So 3 or 4 weeks ago, I wrote down my top 5 or 6 priorities. And if I could just be really transparent with my Pine Lake family, my phone had to make the list because I went and looked at my screen time. And it was embarrassingly bad. I don't know if you know that. You can look at your iPhone and see how much time you spend on your phone. And mine was embarrassingly bad. I'm not going to tell you how many hours a day. But I'm just going to tell you, it struck me. I'm about to be a father of 2, under 2. And that was where my time was going. And it wasn't just phones or texts. I'm not that important. It was apps and social media, things that don't even matter. And so I can't just throw my phone out. So I looked at the list and I said, okay, I need to do that differently. So it's been a challenge for me this summer. My wife's been holding me accountable, and I'm trying to do my phone differently. I'm being overly aware of my usage time, my screen time, so that I can prioritize what matters most. And so I'm challenging you today. Hey, it's your time to manage. Pine Lake family, can I remind you, you don't get it back. Your time matters, and what you do with your time shows what you really believe. Can I remind you of that your time and what you do with it tells the world what really matters to you. Parents, your time and what you do with it tells your kids what really matters to you. And you can tell your friends, you can tell your kids, you can tell your family that Jesus is the most important thing to you. You can tell them that. You can talk it all you want, but if you don't show it with your time, they're gonna see right through it. They're gonna know you're living a lie. That a full calendar with a starving soul isn't helping you and it doesn't please God. Busyness does not equal godliness. Busyness for a lot of you is rooted in fear. How do you fight and face those fears? He's got the whole world in his hands. And then what's the way forward? Learning how to prioritize Jesus and simplify your life. I've been able to go to the Dominican Republic the last 2 years with Pine Lake Missions. And if you've ever been to a Latin American or Caribbean island country, it's striking how their culture and their pace is so different than ours. It like hits you like a brick wall. They're never in a hurry. Church services are just kind of free flowing. You know, we're going to go for however long. And when I went for the first time, I wasn't aware of this. And so our host, Pastor Mishael, works with HMM. He was just never in a hurry. And I got to be honest, I'm not A-type, but it just frustrated me. He's always joking. Hey, what's the plan today? I don't know. What you think we should do today? I'm like, bro, we're only here 6 days. We need to go share the gospel. We need to go do X, Y, Z. All these things I had in my plate. And it frustrated me. I had to submit and surrender. And on day 3, I asked him in the van, hey, Pastor Mishael, why are you never serious and never in a hurry? Those were the two things I was wanting to know. Why are you never serious and never in a hurry? And he kind of smiled. He said, oh, I am sometimes. My wife would need me to be. And then he said, Austin, when all these American Christians come and visit us, I feel like part of my calling is to help them understand what it means to just slow down, to find Jesus, and to enjoy life. Never forget that. Let that run with me for the last 2 years. Slow down, find Jesus, enjoy life. Maybe today that was what I was sent here to tell you. So there's a calling on your life to prioritize Jesus and to slow down. I mean, obviously there's things you're gonna have to do. I get that. But in the middle of that, making sure that Jesus is first and foremost. Slow down, find him, and then enjoy life. You're not guaranteed even tomorrow. Reservoir campus pastor Steve Parton texted our campus pastor group text yesterday, and he said, it's Saturday, July the 8th. You know Steve, this is his personality. It's Saturday, July 8th. Y'all, I'm fired up. We only get it once. We're like, yeah, Steve. But I love it because it's Sunday, July 9th. You only get it once. Like, you ain't getting your time back. So why don't you make sure you're spending it on what matters most? Why are you and me always trying to play the role of Martha? All Jesus wants from us is to sit at his feet and play the role of Mary. Let everything else follow after it. And today, as a faith family across all of our campuses and online, we're going to get to participate in communion. I think it's a beautiful reminder for us as we're talking about busyness and striving and chasing and running that the gospel is the reality that there is no striving and racing and running, that Jesus paid it all. All to him we owe. That there's no mountain or ladder you can climb to get to God. It's just this one word, it's surrender. And so as you hold, you know, your bread and your juice, bread representing his body, juice representing his blood, you're reminded that thank you, Jesus, you paid it all. I don't have to strive to get to you. That you got the whole world in your hands. And if you don't have any of the elements at any of our campuses, you can put your hand up and our deacons will bring it to you and get it to you. And I'm going to pray for us. And then after I pray, we're going to respond. And there's going to be a song sung over us. And then our campus pastors will come and lead us. Let's pray together. Father, we do love you so much. And God, we do trust you today. God, this is a familiar passage for a lot of us. But I pray that with fresh eyes, you've awakened some of my faith family today towards this reality that, God, you are what matters most. Jesus, you are what matters most. Jesus, we need to prioritize you and make much of you. God, we're going to sing a song that declares we need to make room for you so that you can do whatever you want to do. And so, God, I pray there's some people in the room who are convicted towards the reality. God, I got to make room for you this week. I got to make room for you every day of my life. I need you to be what matters most to me. God, in the middle of all the things I have to do, you need to be the one thing I know I need to do. I need to sit at your feet. So God, I pray you minister to the room. Lord, communion is for those who have put faith, hope, and belief in Jesus. So I pray that my faith family, my brothers and sisters in Christ this morning can sit and be thankful, God, that there's no striving or racing or running to receive your love. You paid it all. We love you, Jesus. It's in your name that we pray. Amen.